The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you, it's true we're living in tumultuous times, but it's also very exciting times, because God is moving in this nation, and things are beginning to go. Now, we know that chaos and all kinds of things are going to continue in the world, but God is moving in the midst of it. And this is something that in this season, we the church need to be especially alert. We need to be engaging in spiritual warfare in a manner and at a level that we've never been before. Because the truth is, the future of this nation and really the blessings of future generations depends on our obedience in this day. We need to choose to obey the Lord in this day. You see, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, when Paul is writing to Timothy, who's in Ephesus at the time, he says, look, in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people, right? So he's telling Timothy, look, in the last days, all of these wicked things are going to be common and prominent, okay? Do not be surprised when you see these things. And he even goes on to tell him, if you go down later on in the chapter, he says, look, and also because you're with the Lord, do not be surprised if the world hates you for it. But nonetheless, Paul gives Timothy this charge. He says in verse 10, so this is 2 Timothy verse 10, he says, however, you know all my teachings, my way of life, my purpose, faith, and patience, love, and endurance. You know what kind of persecutions I've suffered. You know the faith walk that I've walked. Then he says in verse 14, but as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know from those whom you've learned it, and from how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Right? So Paul is explaining to Timothy, he says, look, in the world, people are going to be wicked. They're going to be selfish. There's going to be corruption. There's going to be a form of holiness, a form of godliness, right, that is devoid of God. But you, Timothy, should continue in what you have learned. You need to continue in your walk. You have the Scriptures. You have the instructions of God. You have the teachings and the trainings that you have undergone. Continue in your walk, because the Lord has equipped you for such a time as this. And this is what I am telling you in this day. You see, it says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 11, let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile person continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right. And let the holy person continue to be holy. You see, in this day, God wants to see the righteousness reach their full maturity and step into their position that he has for them. So we have to continue on this walk in this day. It's true that maybe they are tumultuous times. It's true that there's all kinds of chaos going on in the world. We have to remain laser focused on Jesus Christ. We've got to zero in on his will and his instructions for your life in this day. You have received the word. You have the Holy Spirit. So we have no excuse. We have to walk out our faith and we have to walk out our obedience in this day. It is only through these things that the church will arise into the position that God has for them. We cannot take for granted the times that we are in now. This is not a season where we can live our life, going about our business as usual. In this season, we have to determine in our heart that we will obey the Lord and follow Him no matter what. It's time for us to walk out our faith. So in doing so, we have to continue praying over this nation as well. Because that spiritual battle that's going on in this nation right now, the future generations depend, their blessing and their well-being depends on our obedience to God. And I don't want to leave any more messes for the next generation to clean up. How long has the church allowed things to get worse, wickedness to continue to spread and become commonplace because we pulled out of the cultural centers of society, we've pulled out of the education centers, we pulled out of media and technology, and we allowed the world to come in? How long is the church going to sit around and allow these issues to continue? Will we leave them to the next generation? Or will we decide in this day, I will obey the Lord. I'm going to start being the light today. Wherever I am, I'm going to start being the light today to establish God's will around me. We have to make that decision and we have to walk it. But understand, you cannot go out into the world and be a light until you yourself have become clean and holy unto the Lord. There are many issues in the church itself that continue to remain unaddressed because the church would rather, play political games. They would rather, let's just encourage each other. Okay, we'll sing some songs. We'll do this and that without addressing core issues that need to be addressed in the church. We have to get our own selves in order for us to be used mightily by the Lord. You see, before the Israelites entered the promised land, Joshua said to them, he said, consecrate yourselves, for the Lord will do great and mighty things in your midst. Right? There's this consecration and holiness that needs to precede entering the promised land. Right? And when they enter the promised land, what happened? They started engaging in warfare. Okay? They encountered Jericho. They encountered armies and giants and all kinds of things, right? It wasn't just now we're living in a land filled with milk and honey, right? And we're blessed and we're prosperous and I paid off my house and I'm debt-free. No, they went in there where God sent them and they started engaging in warfare. This is what we're doing in this day in the spiritual realm. But that consecration has to come first. This is why even in the church, okay, there's been shaking in the world. There's been shaking in the ministry. Because we, his body, we need to be 100% God's ways of doing things. And this is something even in my own life, I'm still discovering those little places where I don't allow God to rule and reign in my life. And when we discover those things, we have to determine, I'm not going to brush this off. Even though I don't like it, I'm going to surrender it to the Lord. We have to in every area of our life. So this is something that has to happen individually. So first it's individually, then as a body, the same thing happens. So for example, when you engage with the Holy Spirit and you're encountering the Lord and you're speaking with the Lord, many times what will happen is areas of your own heart will be exposed to yourself. You'll come face to face with your own selfishness. You'll come face to face with maybe your own bitterness or unforgiveness, maybe ways that you acted that were unloving. And these are issues you have to address when the Holy Spirit exposes them to you. And this happens. It's a continual walk. It's a continual walk because God is refining us. He's purifying us so that we'll become more holy. Okay. Now, this includes also, if there's issues, for example, maybe in the way that you've been engaging with your family, with your friends, with your business. And the funny thing is that many times, maybe when there's a problem, a lot of people, the majority of the time, will try to just avoid the problem. Okay, I'm just not going to address it because it's uncomfortable, right? And then they'll go days, weeks, maybe even months where they're dancing around this issue that they don't want to address because they're too afraid. How many of you have encountered a similar situation? But the thing is that if we can't address the issues within our own family, within our own personal lives, how can we go into the world and be a light for the world. When we're too afraid to address issues in our own hearts or in our own lives, right? We have to address those things. We have to stand up in courage and speak what is right, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it hurts, and even if it's hard. This is part of what walking your faith life looks like. It does not stop when you leave a church building, right? It doesn't stop after the Sunday service. We have to take our faith walk home with us, okay? And unless we do that individually, we cannot step into the realm of leadership and authority that God wants us to lead in. He wants us to rule and reign with him, with Christ, okay? He wants us to rule and reign in authority, okay? Those industries that is so overrun with wickedness and corruption, God wants to hand it to his church. But unless his church is ready, right? So you can get mad at politicians because they play all kinds of political games, or because they, you know, there's nepotism, right? They're doing favor for favor. When truthfully, there are many ministries that play these exact kind of political games. And maybe you've witnessed it, where there's all kinds of politics within the ministry. And there's all kinds of nepotism within the ministry. How can we be a light to the world? And how can we judge the world if we have not addressed those issues in our own hearts? We have to walk in holiness. And that's why this shaking has been happening even in the church. Because God wants to raise up those leaders that will walk with him, that will do his will, that will say the things that he says to say, and they're going to have a heart after God. So many Christians unknowingly, for example, fall into pride, entitlement, because they become so focused on my ministry, my calling, what I want to do. When are people going to recognize my gifts? Okay, we have to move past ourselves and start focusing on the kingdom of God. Because, as I said before, there's chaos in the world right now. Okay? The world needs his light. And so our job is to go there and be that light. You see, Jesus said, if you've seen the Son, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Now that is such an amazing statement, because that is the model that exists for us and how we're supposed to live our own lives, which is that when you're going about your day, they're not just encountering you. They're supposed to actually be encountering God in you. I want to say that again, okay? You go to the grocery store, you're meeting with your friends, you're at work. They're not just supposed to encounter you as an individual, right? Oh, my personality, this is who I am. They should be encountering God in you. Because the way that you talk, the way that you walk, the way that you think should be so in sync with the Father God that seeing you and conversing with you should be like conversing with the Father. Because that's what Jesus said. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you heard me, well, you've heard the Father, because I say those things I see my Father saying. Okay? This is the model Jesus left for us. So we Christians, all of us as individuals, we got to get there, right? We've got to get there to where we're not taking any interaction for granted. What that means is that every single day, as it goes by, we should be fulfilling the will of the Father God, right? So there's not a day that goes by where we don't hear his voice, and there's not a day that goes by where we don't obey him or do his will. And when you take on that mindset, you stop taking for granted every little moment that's given to you. And you start seeing opportunities for the kingdom of God wherever you go, right? You're going to work, then you're talking to the Lord. Lord, how can I do your will today, right? And sometimes that's just doing your job and doing a really good job, right? But other times God will give you the words to say. Again, I want to stress this so much. We cannot take for granted any day in our lives anymore. When you wake up, you should have your ears attuned to the will of God, okay? Because a lot of times, right, we might wake up and then, oh, okay, I'm going to turn on the news. I'm going to listen to my music, right? Oh, I'm going to watch some funnies on social media, right? There's all kinds of noises that we listen to, and then we close our ears to the Holy Spirit. Understand, brothers and sisters, We're at war right now. It is a spiritual war for the heart of this nation. We need to be alert. We need to have our ears opened to the will of God everywhere we go and in everything that we do. And when there is an issue that God exposes in your heart or with what you've been doing, you have to address it. And it's the same with the ministry. If there is an issue, right, and God has given people under your sphere of influence, right, that you're discipling, you're training up, you have to address those issues. We can't sit around and be like, oh, well, you know what? I'm just going to ignore it and hope it goes away. We're supposed to be the light, guys, right? When the light comes, darkness flees. That's what happens, okay? And thankfully, God, he's been kind of working on his church, right? There's a lot of issues that he's been uprooting. So we should be thankful for that, right? If God is disciplining you and if he's correcting you, I mean, it might hurt at the time, but we should be thankful because that means, hey, he hasn't given up on you. He's still working on perfecting you. So say, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, right? So what Jesus tells us, he says in Matthew chapter 13, starting with verse 24, it says, another parable he put forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seeds in your field? How then does it have tares? But he said to them, an enemy has done this. So the servants said, and they're trying to be proactive, well, do you want us to go up and gather all these weeds, right? Do you want us to pick up these tares? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first, gather together the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. In this image, you see, harvest time had come around, okay? And the weeds, these tares, have been intermingled with the good seeds. The master did not want to uproot the tares too early because he did not want to harm the good wheat. This is very much like today. You see, when the Lord showed Pastor Chris a vision, it was a vision of Washington, D.C. And in Washington, D.C., there was a great root that went down all the way down into the depths of the earth, so much so that it spread all across the world. It was a root of wickedness and deep corruption, and every nation fed from it. Every industry fed from it, and even parts of the church were feeding from it. And then the Lord said, by my mighty hand, this root will be uprooted. But you see now, the Lord delayed his judgment. Why? Because, just like in this parable, if the tares get uprooted before the wheat reaches its full maturity, some of the wheat will be swept up with it. And so, you might be wondering, well, why, Lord? Why haven't you judged the wicked? Why haven't you fixed this and that? And in reading this, you can come to understand that it's by God's own mercy, because he doesn't want to also judge his own people. He doesn't want to sweep up the righteous along with the wicked. But he says, wait until both of them reach their full maturity. We see in this, the wickedness is reaching full maturity. We, the church, also have to reach full maturity. We need to be completely righteous and holy unto the Lord. We need to be acting out his will, establishing his kingdom, and obeying him in every area of our lives. As I said before, as it says in Revelation, let the wicked continue to do wicked, let the vile continue to be vile, but let the righteous continue to be righteous, and let the holy continue to be holy. We need to decide this day, we're going to obey the Lord. Are you guys getting this? Now, the reason why I'm saying this, though, is because as I said at the beginning of this message, it's a time of turmoil. It's a time of chaos, but it's also a time of great excitement because the Lord has been setting the stage for such a grand transformation, the likes of which we have never seen in the history of this nation. And this is something where we have to decide to trust in the Lord. And you know what? We're not going to rely on our own understanding. We're going to obey God. and we're going to see him do his mighty works. You see, in Exodus, the time of deliverance for the Israelites, it was a time of turmoil. You see, the Lord leading up to setting his people free, there was 10 plagues, right? There was the plague of turning the river into blood. There was the plague of the frogs, and the frogs got into everything, right? And the Pharaoh cries out to Moses and he says, pray that they'll go away. And so Moses prays, and then the frogs died in all the houses. And the scripture says that the land reeked of dead frogs. That's just the second plague. But these plagues affected every sector of society. It affected the health of the people. It affected commerce and trade. It affected communications. It affected the animals. Okay? Every arena was affected by this time of turmoil. But these were all things leading up to a great deliverance that God was bringing his people, right? And in some of these plagues, the people of Israel were completely separated from the Egyptians. When the flies came, the flies did not come to the land where the Israelites live. When the gnats came, the gnats did not come where the Israelites live. When the angel of death came to kill every firstborn in the land, the Israelites were spared from this plague. But the thing that separated the Israelites from the Egyptians in this scenario was that they needed to obey the Lord, right? God said, you're going to take a lamb without any blemish. It's going to live in your house. You're going to sacrifice it, eat it, and you're going to take the blood and you're going to paint it on your doorpost, right? So if the Israelites, if there was a handful of Israelites that didn't obey the Lord, they also would have been caught up with this plague that was coming into the world. Our obedience is so important in this day. But you see, it didn't end there, guys, right? So there was this great time of turmoil, but God brought a great deliverance, right? And then Pharaoh says, fine, leave, go, 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 right? And then Pharaoh changes his mind. God hardened his heart. And they chase after the Israelites with armies, chariots, soldiers, all of these things. And the Lord leads them to a dead end. On their backside, right in front of them, they've got the Red Sea. When they turn around, they've got mountain ranges on either side and the Egyptians coming right at them. The Lord literally led them to a dead end where they had no escape. But the reason why was not because God intended to kill the Israelites and make a humiliation out of them. No, it's because he intended to show his glory before all the nations. And that's exactly what he did. He instructed Moses, take your staff, right? And that sea parted. The waters parted before them, and they walked across the Red Sea as on dry ground. This is the manner in which God is going to move in this day. It's not going to be in a manner that you expect. It's not going to be in a manner that you understand. But God fully intends to bring righteousness and light to the United States of America. And he fully intends to show his glory to the nations. That people will look at the things happening in America, they will see and they will say to themselves, wow, the hand of God is upon the United States of America. His glory is there. And this is a day that I am so looking forward to, brothers and sisters. I so desire to see God's glory manifest here on earth as it is in heaven. That in every day, the culture, our language, our entertainment, all of it is a manifestation of God's will here on earth as it is in heaven. That is something I'm so desiring to see. And I know God wants to manifest it and begin manifesting it in this generation. But we have to decide this day, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to live my life for the Lord in everything. We have to decide this day that we're going to do that. So I hope this has encouraged you. Start obeying God now. And if you come across something where the Holy Spirit's exposing your heart to you, be malleable for the Holy Spirit. Because it's not by our own understanding. We have to be willing to follow and obey God, no matter what other people say, including what other Christians say. The instructions of the Lord are more important. Amen? Well, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Again, my name is Joshua Sasso, and you've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Continue praying for this nation. Continue obeying the Lord, because we are going to see this nation transformed for the glory of the Lord in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630, or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.